Chris, first of all, hope you're doing well with the 10th hurricane the last 2 months hitting you.
Yeah, I don't know. We ticked off somebody. I don't know what. we're doing fine. Folks in New Orleans got hit a little bit. The whole Gulf Coast, Mississippi, Alabama went through pretty fast. So if there's any positive, is that it went through as fast as it did. But all good here, thankfully.
Chris, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we were just kicking it around. What's the proper protocol when a coaching staff takes over, head coach and his staff? When is it no longer okay to point to what you got left, meaning what you walked into, the mess you inherited?
Right.
When is that no longer fair game?
Well, the rule of thumb, and I believe in this, when a new coach takes over a program, it what happens initially is more reflective of what he inherited than what he's able to do. The longer he's there, the more it becomes his program, and the more it's reflective of what he's done and not what was done by the previous coach. Now, to your point of how long, it depends upon the mess. I mean, it's if you spill milk in the kitchen, that's one type of mess. Then there's a big mess like, God forbid, if you have storm damage and stuff, that's a really big mess, right? So
right.
What is the level of mess? For example, I think the biggest problems are the culture issues where you have to maybe purge rosters, but you can't do it because if you did that, you wouldn't even have enough players. Like, I think the big, really big mess right now is like Florida State. I think that, but once you're getting into, say, the third year, I think in the second year, the first year, you change over the culture. That's what you have to do. If you're trying to change the culture in the second year, you haven't done a good job in the first year. You can change the culture by the end of the first year. Players need to know what you mean and that you mean it. And this is how it's going to be. And then it becomes an improvement of personnel and guys that fit. So by the third year, I would say you absolutely need to be headed in the right direction. But again, that does depend on how bad it was that you inherited.
Your keys to the Penn State-Ohio State game.
Well, grading out the games from last week, really disappointing in how Penn State's offensive line played. I thought it was a really big problem. I do think, Freeze graded out well, but they just didn't get a whole lot of help. Thorpe wasn't awful, but they just didn't play well at the line of scrimmage. They're going to really struggle to stop Ohio State's offense. And I didn't think Clifford played well in the pass game. I thought he used his legs well. I think the key is you've got to be able to run the football, which, again, if they don't, Penn State doesn't get better offensive line play, they're going to have a hard time with that. So I think it's going to require a much better passing performance, much better offensive line play, a very, very clean game, which Penn State doesn't play a lot of clean games. I don't give a whole lot of hope. I think they're going to have to catch Ohio State on a really bad day. But that's the key, is to be able to run the football effectively, play ball control, and that's including Clifford running it as well. But they can't get in the shootout game. I don't think they can match up.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. will let you know how you can get all of his information. News that was probably expected on Wednesday, Chris, the cancellation of the Wisconsin-Nebraska game. I know neither one of us could predict the future on cancellations, and we knew this would be a problem because of the Big Ten stringent rules, 21-day sit-outs and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just wondering, between now and mid-December, what we're looking at in that league.
Yeah, so do I. Part of me, and I don't mean this because I'm enjoying watching the games, part of me is just, I don't know. I can't wait to get the season over, and I don't mean it in that literal sense, but I just want to get through the season and get through this before things get too bad or we have more of this. Because I still have a lot of concern that we're going to end up nowhere near as well as we started this. So my concern is that with the 21-day set out is how it's going to affect. So, I mean, we've seen it affect Florida. But, you know, Florida's got a chance if they get some good luck. They can make up a game. The Big Ten's not going to be able to do that. There'll be no contest. And I'm concerned, let's say, for Wisconsin, which I think is fully healthy, is the best team in that West. And I think it's going to maybe render the most of their schedule, because I don't think this is going to be the only game that they miss. I think it's going to render them, you know, kind of more exhibition-like. And that's unfortunate, because even though we kind of looked at it and said, well, the Big Ten may not play, they're going to be eliminated. Well, they may eliminate themselves just by the COVID issue. I think the real concern, the biggest concern, is in Columbus. Can they get through their season? Because that's the only team in the league that has national playoff capabilities. I don't want to rule out Michigan as a potential fourth team, because there's only three playoff caliber teams. So there could be a second team, but it's really Ohio State that's the only playoff caliber team amongst the three playoff caliber teams. And, what if they end up having to miss two games or three games? What is that going to do? That is very concerning, I would think, and it is for me.
Chris, this may be a poor comparison, but I'll try it. NFL, the Titans were off about 2 weeks, didn't get to do much, and played Buffalo, played well, looked good in that ball game. Gators have been off for a while, got back to practice on Monday. They have Missouri coming up. Is there any way to compare those two situations, meaning Florida may play well in this game?
No, well, Florida may play well, but I wouldn't compare it. It is different. You've got more games under your belt with the Titans and more practices under your belt, and you're talking about pro players that are used to, you know, being able to get through light practices, in this case, no practices, and they face the Buffalo team that, quite frankly, had some issues themselves with injuries, and I think all of that factored in.
Right.
What I just do not know about Florida is, they haven't done anything, and I don't know what to expect. I really don't. Look, I expect them to win maybe by, a couple of touchdowns against Missouri. Missouri's playing well, playing with confidence. They have played in recent history Florida pretty well, different coaching staff. But I think Eli's done a good job. The quarterback's playing well. Got a really good back that's starting to, it's been good for a while, but starting to be a factor for him. It's all about Florida, and I just don't know. Without any work for basically 2 weeks, you don't have that. I mean, you don't have that. They certainly are spent the time from a coaching staff preparing for the rest of the season, but the players just, I don't know what to expect there. So that to me is very intriguing. Under normal circumstances, I'd expect Florida to win and maybe even win decisively, but I don't know here.
Jason says, Bill, ask Chris, with the loss of Jalen Waddle, what changes on the Bama offense? And Slade Bolden's a Louisiana kid who I think is going to play well for them.
Yeah, nothing changes in the offensive schematically. And they've got enough playmakers to where it doesn't really affect what they do. What changes is it puts a little bit more pressure on the other receivers to have to win and get open. When I mean win in their routes and get open, because you're going to see a little bit more roll coverage your way that would have gone to Waddle. So, look, Jalen was outstanding. The highest graded receiver for Alabama this year has been Devontae Smith. And Waddle, the more explosive, but he's really good. Mechie's playing well. You mentioned Bolden. They've got, Williams and Holt. This will only affect them potentially in a playoff type game if maybe they need an explosive play in the return game. Or a guy that just could take the top off of defense. No one can do that better than Waddle. They still have guys that can do it. But it's lost. You can't talk about him and how good he was and how explosive he was and then lose him and say, but it doesn't really matter. Of course it does. Will it matter in terms of their ability to win it all? I wouldn't say that. I don't think that's going to be the decisive factor, but certainly it's going to be a fact down the road.
The controversy with some about why use Waddle as a kickoff returner, which is his original skill set dating way back. It's not like they just started this. But what's your, as a coach, Chris, what's your theory on using key skill players in the dangerous return game?
Hey, listen, I had a background with Parcells and Belichick and the importance of putting as many good players on special teams, even in the NFL, yeah, where you will pay money to guys that are on special teams because how valuable. I don't think people just don't pay enough attention. And as much as they may lack some of the intricacies of understanding offenses and defenses, most people have no clue what they're watching on special teams. It is really important. Now, with that said, you can make the case that in college, when you have extraordinary talent, that you can make the case, you know, maybe that is a job for the younger receiver that's trying to get, or the younger defensive back that's trying to get some work to put them in there. But in terms of making plays, you make plays in all three facets. So to say, well, you know, I don't want him on special teams, that's no different than saying, you know what, it's first down, we're not going to throw. Why have him in the game? He might trip or get hurt blocking. Well, that's dumb. You put your players in there. I do think it matters maybe, and I do think Nick in the past has maybe played some of those guys a little too long in games. You can always do that. But you know what? How many people would have called in or written in and said, what the hell is Jaylen Waddle doing returning kicks if he didn't get hurt? It's always the hindsight 2020. Of course, you would look at it and say, boy, I wish he wasn't in there on that play. You feel that way on everybody that gets hurt. That's football. It's going to happen. And the injury factor is 100%. It's just a matter of who, when, and why.
Chris, got a couple minutes on the other side?
Sure.
Okay, Chris Landry, we'll let you know how you can get all of his information. LandryFootball.com, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Tag Fat Side Up, tweet to Bill at Bill is King to enter the arena of ideas.
Bunch of good questions here for Chris. Lake Norman Buckeye says, Bill, ask Chris what he's hearing from inside of Texas. Buckeye fans right now loving watching Texas Tommy burn after what he did. Quinn Ewers decommits, top quarterback, class of 22. Apparently, the Buckeyes are probably the recipient here whenever he makes another decision. But whether it's arguing or fighting about the song you sing at the end of a game, or whether it's a decommit, or, Chris, whether it's the defense can't bust a grape, what's going on?
Well, obviously, the whole culture problem of Texas, I kind of look at it in a couple of ways. If you are winning and you're successful, you can deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with the song. But, right, as you've alluded to, it's a little bit of a culture problem, you know, worse than Oklahoma, but similar in that they don't have enough good defensive players. There is no excuse for Texas or Oklahoma, by the way, to not recruit, not like a Big 12 team, but like a, you know, a Clemson, a Georgia, an Alabama. They have all the resources to do it. They don't do it. They haven't done it, and that's a flaw, and they can recruit nationally. I do know there's issues in Texas with the 7-on-7s and maybe not as many guys. They got plenty of guys that can run. There are plenty of good players that can play good defense. They don't emphasize defense enough. They're constantly trying to outscore. They don't play complementary ball, and I think that's led to a softness issue. I think it's anytime you're just a run up and down the field, it's just going to be whoever gets the ball last, and that's why you never know. And that's why a team like a Kansas State or, you know, can have some success at Iowa State because they play a little defense. Oklahoma State is doing a pretty nice job. So to me, it's the lack of defensive culture, recruiting to it, developing it, and playing an offense that's complementary to it. So what that does is created more of the same problems that they've had, even worse. And then in this situation, I'm not quite sure what Tom Herman does. This is above him. So here's what this whole song stuff is. You back your players. You have to. If you don't back your players, then you're done. If you do back your players, then you tick off the upper administration and the boosters. There is no win on this stuff. I mean, and if you're not winning on the field, you're going to take somebody off. There is no win there because you lose the players or you lose the support of the, you know, boosters, administrators. Well, when you're not winning, look, if you're winning, there's nothing they can do to you. If you're losing, there's nothing they can do for you to help you. And so he's in a bad, bad way, and it's just a matter of, I don't know, it's the lack of stroke that he has because of his lack of success on the field that has contributed to this. Because you know somebody that was more successful and more political. If this was going on in the height of Mack Brown when they were successful, then this could have been handled now. But the latter stages of Mack, this would have got him pushed out the door. This is a very difficult situation, but it stems from the on-the-field performance.
Jeff, too, has got a pro question. He says, ask Chris, the Patriots' struggles this year more indicative of Belichick's lack of preparation and life after Brady? He says, also, is Tampa Bay's success more about Brady's drive to prove Belichick wrong?
Well, Tampa's situation is a combination of a few things. That defense is very good and playing better than anybody in the NFC South. So the defense has been really good. Brady's had a tremendous impact. They've got good playmakers around them. And while Brady's made some mistakes, you cut down the massive amount of mistakes that Jameis Winston did. You could see that was going to be an improvement just by Brady's presence. It's a lot to do with Brady. On New England, the quarterback play, you got to remember now that you've got to get Cam Newton in the run game to be successful. And there's no doubt for a team that focuses on a lot of preparation in a game-to-day, a game-to-game playing situational offense and defense, which Belichick does, missing practices is going to hurt him a lot more than others. So, like when we talk about with the Titans, well, they just simplify, do what they do, they run the football. But a lot of the mix and match of situational offense and defense, when you have the COVID issues and you can't practice and it's early in the season, you got to do that. And you don't have a Brady that can bail you out, that's where it is. And right now you got them in Buffalo this week, and neither one of them are playing very well. And that was a game that 3 weeks ago I would have thought, wow, this is going to be really fun. Right now I'm not quite sure that either one of them are good enough, and it's probably going to be for the AFC East.
Coach Marshall, ask Chris, which Ole Miss quarterback you think Vanderbilt will see in the RPO, more on Saturday, Matt Corral or John Rhys Plumlee?
Well, it depends on how well Corral. I would say that Corral's going to play. You're going to see both. Corral's going to start, and how well he plays, which I expect he'll play pretty well against him. I would say you probably get more snaps from Corral. But if he doesn't play really well, and let me just say this, that's for all the talk about the officiating and everything, Ole Miss has not played well offensively. Lane had a really bad play calling day last week. The red zone hasn't been really effective. That's why they've used Plumlee a little bit more. So if they continue to struggle, particularly in the red zone, you're going to see a little bit more Plumlee. But it really depends on how well Corral plays early on. Look, I'm a big believer in getting Plumlee on the field. I thought they would do a little bit better job of utilizing him on the field. I realize the young man wants to play quarterback, but that's your job. You've got to convince that guy that he's got next-level ability, not at quarterback. And, you know, you can do some quarterback things. We'll have a package for you, but let's get you on the field and be a slash guy that can be in a lot of different spots. You've got to be able to sell that to the guy, and you got to get him on the field more, because without him on the field, I think you're taking away a a really big weapon, maybe the biggest weapon, on an offense that's got quite a few weapons.
Really does. Jim and Jupiter, ask Chris if Florida State has an issue at their defensive coordinator position.
They got a culture issue of guys, players doing their own thing. That is not a issue of coaching technique. It's attitude. It's trying to get them. All those guys, the ones that can play, they're concerned about is playing in the league and getting ready. They're not, and this is the thing about it is, if you're Mike, you're in a tough spot. You run all those guys away, what are you going to do, line up with 40 players? They've got a major, major cleaning that they need to do. That is a situation where it's more of a problem that's left, as opposed to, say, what's going on in Starkville, where Leach is the biggest problem. And you know, it's always, if you're not winning, you know, it's not always the same, you know, the first year. They don't have a culture problem in Starkville, or they do, mainly due to the head coach. But in Florida State, it's due to a lot of players that are very – you saw this in the offseason. They're very much me-oriented, and that's going to take a while to clean that up, at least another offseason.
Got a couple left here for Chris. Very good questions. Gator Brandon, ask Chris about the LSU defensive tackle transfer announcement. He's the kid from Utah. Chris, I've never tried to pronounce his name, but
yeah,
what's up there?
I can pronounce it. If I pronounce it three times, it'll be different. He's a really good point of attack player, but he's got good off the ball quickness, and the guy's got a high motor, and he's going to fit a lot of what they want to do, be very aggressive, get upfield and attack. But yeah, they do a really good job there of identifying those type of kids out in Utah of guys that really play with a high energy, high motor. Most of those guys do, not to stereotype, but a lot of those guys just play like their hair is on fire, and he does.
Quickly, I wasn't even thinking about this because I got a couple of other ones. Findley at quarterback, true freshman. One game, but was that convincing enough to have a quarterback controversy, although Coach O says there is none?
Well, here's the thing about it. First of all, Miles Brennan has played very well. He's right. Graded out very well. So that's a good thing. Having two guys play well is better than trying to find one that can play well enough. But this kid's got more physical ability than Brennan. I thought he did a really good job. His accuracy, getting the ball out on time, that impressed me. His poise impressed me. Look, I've seen the practice tape on him. I'm aware of what he can do, but doing it on air, doing it in a game, particularly against a couple guys in the secondary that played pretty well, he threw some balls that were very, very impressive. But keep in mind, people are going to see him and study him, and now we're going to see this week. Decent Auburn secondary. I don't know that the front will be good enough. We'll see what he can do this week because Miles is not ready to go. But, yeah, it could be. Look, this is a good one to have. If he outplays him and he has more ability, why not? But I think it does depend upon how well he can protect the football, because right now, until the defense can play with more consistency, the one thing that can kill LSU or the one thing that can save them is their offense. You start turning the football over, then all of a sudden, you got those same games which your offense can carry you. All of a sudden, you end up losing games. And that starts this week. So the ability to protect the football is important, not the big plays. So we'll see if he can continue to do that.
Running way late, but I got two more questions throwing in here. No, that's just on me. We got so many questions here, Chris. They're all good. John out in Los Angeles. John played golf in the late 70s at Southern Cal, but he's a big Notre Dame fan because his dad played football there. Says, ask Chris his opinion of Brian Kelly and the Irish, just in general.
I think Brian Kelly does a fantastic job. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to recruit there, the dynamics. I think he's outstanding. They don't have the elite talent, but they've got good talent, and I think they develop well. The offensive lines, the tight ends. He's tough on quarterbacks, but he's good. I think this is a good team, and I'm curious to see what they can do against Clemson. I don't think they're going to win, but how competitive they can be. And I throw them in the mix of the teams that could be the fourth team that none of them are good enough to be playoff caliber, but somebody's got to make it, they would be in that group.
Here's the last one. Tennessee Insurance Dog, big Georgia fan. Question, this one comes up every day. Will Georgia play JT Daniels?
I think eventually they will, they should. The big thing to keep in mind, just because he's been cleared medically doesn't mean he's ready and had enough reps and work. So, when you're cleared medically, you're not ready to, hey, let's play this week. It's let's get the work in. For me, I would work towards, not sacrifice a game, of course, but I would work towards improving this passing game any way I could with JT, because I think the only chance they have of getting a shot at beating Alabama, because Georgia is definitely a team that's capable of being in the playoffs if their passing game gets better. But that's the thing that's going to hold them back. So I'm hopeful for them that they're able to develop that better, and I think it's probably going to have to be with JT. We'll see how well they do with him and how willing that Kirby is. I think Todd Monken would absolutely like to get him ready to go to improve this passing game.
Chris, tell everybody how they can get your info.
LandryFootball.com, very simple. Go there. You can get the Twitch TV channel. You can listen to the podcast. You can get all the film room analysis, the film room game previews, the reviews, player grades, team grades. We got it all for you. It's like having your own scouting department, coaching department for less than a magazine subscription, less than $10 a month. Heck, it's less than that if you take advantage of the year membership. So great opportunity. If you like football, you're going to love LandryFootball.com.